Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, the opportunity of being posted abroad was once a desirable outcome when you were working. The chance to see new cultures, knowing you were financially safe, added glamour to some jobs. Times have changed, as more of us are now turning down the chance of a posting abroad. My next guest has been looking at the decline of foreign postings. It's great to welcome Polita Clark of the Financial Times to the show. How are you, Polita?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Good. Now, you might set the stage for us here. When we think about, I suppose, postings abroad, we think about maybe the Foreign Office, the military, expat communities, a sense of, as you said, maybe not paying as much tax as you would at home, and a lot of your expenses being taken up by your employer. So, like, a real opportunity both financially and culturally. So why is it in decline?
As generous as
well,
they
one
used
of the reasons is that
when
the packages themselves are really, I was incredibly lucky. Just around the time I turned 30, I was posted to Washington, D.C. on what, in retrospect, looks like a completely incredible package where I had very generous rent subsidies, I had really good health insurance, I was able to buy a brand new car with my car allowance. Everything was covered, and the company did its best to make sure that I wasn't going to be financially any worse off than I would have been if I'd stayed home. That's really changing. A lot of companies are now basically posting staff abroad on the same sorts of conditions as locally hired people would be, which is not always great, depending. And it's particularly difficult, I think, with something that didn't exist as much 20, 30 years ago, and that is working wives. Essentially, a lot of these packages were designed with a man in mind with a non-working wife. And, of course, that's completely changed. And so it makes it much more difficult for people to accept these postings.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that because, you know, that sort of stereotypical working man, wife staying at home, school fees paid, gated community, you know, is another reason maybe, I suppose, just the cost of doing business that one can do business, I suppose, so much more efficiently now remotely. There's got to be a piece of that in this.
Well, that's the thing, that the rise of the dual income couple was already making things difficult before the pandemic. But what the pandemic did was, it did two things, actually. Number one, it basically ushered in this sort of generation of often quite young 20-something digital nomads who were really keen to take advantage of the rise of remote working and grab their laptop and go and live in one country this month, another country next month. And I think that made people think that, oh, well, this is sort of where things are headed. This is what, you know we're going to see a sort of a return to people really being keen to travel. But actually, what people are telling me is that when it comes to slightly older workers in their 40s, maybe sort of just turned 40 and a bit older, they very much discovered that during the pandemic that you can have a huge amount of freedom working from home, and you can also deal remotely with colleagues and clients and customers in other countries in a way that you didn't realize you could before. So the idea of uprooting the entire family on a reduced package when your spouse might have to take a pretty unappreciated career break just makes the whole idea of accepting a foreign posting more problematic.
Yeah, it is as well a kind of an age thing, is it not, Polita, in terms of, you know, young people who should travel and will travel all as part of their life experience, they're much more flexible, they have much less commitments than people in their 40s, 50s, 60s that have, I suppose, roots in places and commitments at home. So the ability to up sticks and travel is much easier if you're younger.
I think that's right. But the problem for a lot of employers is that the people that they want to send abroad are actually quite a bit more experienced, quite a bit older, tend to have a partner and children. And the employers often want to send these people, quite senior executives in many cases, to do pretty important jobs abroad. You know, could be opening up a new division of the company, or, you know, setting up some new branch, or readjusting, restructuring. And so that's why some companies are actually doing some quite interesting things to get around the problems of the dual income couple and the fact that it's the expenses are quite extraordinary in some cases. What they're doing is basically allowing a more flexible sort of arrangement where instead of taking it with the whole family, you basically just agree to work on a project for a couple of months in another country, or you might agree to do it for longer, but you commute so that the company will actually fly you back and forth. So you don't actually have to uproot the whole family. So that's becoming more prevalent in places like Inca, actually, the biggest owner of IKEA stores. They told me that that was something that was really increasing. These sort of flexible arrangements are still increasing. They are still sending staff abroad with their families, but they've seen a real increase, particularly since the pandemic, in these more flexible arrangements.
I think with any business as well, you know, the commitment of having your own people on the ground is not lost if you're trying to integrate or build something in another jurisdiction. And if that's to go, you know, I think I could foresee that would be more difficult to integrate, to set up, to create things without committing people to overseas projects.
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, I think it's just really difficult whether you are wanting to set up a new branch of the company, or maybe you might be working in an area like international development. You know, you can't really be sure that what you're doing is going to be the right, whether you're taking the right course of action or not, whether how suitable it's going to be, how potentially profitable it's going to be, if you don't have people on the ground who are able to absorb what life is like in the market or in the country, in the society that you're operating in.
Yeah. And I suppose finally then, you know, I think like myself, you've travelled a bit. Is the fact that travel is so accessible now as well playing into this? In other words, people see the world without having to up stakes and relocate, because people travel so much more than they used to. Is that, you know, I suppose, meaning that there's less people available for such projects?
I think that that is a big factor, actually. I didn't have time to go into that point in this piece, or didn't have room, rather, but I think it's a really, really probably a very salient factor in this trend. You know, I grew up on a sheep farm in a remote part of Australia, and my father always used to say to me, now what you need to do is become an air hostess, as they were called in those days, because that's the only way you're going to be able to go and see the world, because we're not going to be able to send you. And it's going to be pretty tough for you to be able to earn enough money to be able to afford the airfares, which, by the way, at that time were extortionate. So, you know, that's right. It was really much more difficult for all of us before the rise of Ryanair and other budget airlines, and before the world was opened up by much cheaper air travel. And so I agree with you. I think, you know, it's just not seen as, the foreign posting is not seen as something just incredibly unattainable and glamorous in the way that it was in the days when it was much harder and more expensive to travel.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that, I suppose, that the economics of business will realign with the dreams and aspirations of people, because I think, you know, the experience gained for both individuals and of value to companies in this whole area is absolutely, you know, it's colossal, and it'd be a shame to lose it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's one thing taking a holiday in some, you know, part of Africa or Asia or somewhere, and you have a great time and you learn a lot. meet some great people, but it's quite another experience when you actually go and work in another country. And I'd be really sad, I have to say, if it became a really more intense trend and people felt that they weren't interested in doing that, because I think it's just an incredibly great thing to be fortunate enough to do.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Polita Clark from the Financial Times, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.